Innovative businesses see every day as an opportunity to create something new. Dell Technologies advisors are here with tools and expertise to help you do incredible things. Because Dell Technologies believes there's an innovator in all of us. Learn more about smart PCs powered by the Intel vPro platform that's built for business. Find tech that's right for you by calling a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. This is the time of the deep dives.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This office that Russell Wilson was allowed to have in Denver. They put the office on the second floor where all the executives were.
Let's rock.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL draft analyst Todd McShay, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, PBA Hall of Famer Pete Weber, senior writer for the MMQB Albert Breer, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, this terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey. We say hello to you on the final Monday of February 2023. What a weekend in the NBA it was. What a week it's going to be in the NFL. The Combine is this week. I will be on the air on NFL Network for an insane amount of time. And the Combine begins this very week. Players are already reporting to Indianapolis. Rumors are already flying. Podiums will be white hot to the touch starting tomorrow. Drills, on-field drills on NFL Network start Thursday all weekend long. I'll be there with Daniel Jeremiah, who's on tomorrow's show. Todd McShay, who is one of the lead draft analysts for the Worldwide Leader in Sports, is going to help us kick off all of our Combine coverage in about 20 minutes time to kick off this show. Albert Breer at the very end. Hour number two, Jeff Passan will join us as it's quite an interesting first weekend of spring training baseball with all the rule changes and the pitch clock and everything going on in baseball. He'll be joining us top of hour number two. And then over the weekend, it was the 11th anniversary of bowling legend Pete Weber screaming at the fans, who do you think you are? I am. And so Pete's going to join us in the middle of hour number two to join us to just stroll down memory lane. As we all know, at the Super Bowl, Stephon Diggs of the Buffalo Bills said that was the inspiration for him. So he will be joining us in hour number two just to have some fun. It's Overreaction Monday. So much to discuss today, and that's how I say good morning to Christopher Brockman here on the West Coast. Good day, sir.
Hey, Rich, why do you guys whisper at the Combine? You and Daniel are always whispering.
Well, it's something we do because it is a working environment.
But you're in a booth. Like, no one can hear you.
False. I don't know if you've met me, but my voice carries, bro. My voice carries.
There are fans. Is the music coming back this year?
No.
Whack.
Music lasted like one drill before they turned it off.
Stupid. I love the music.
Good to see you over there, Jason Felly. Hey. How are you doing, Jason Felly?
How are you, Rich?
I am well, and TJ Jefferson, the candle's already lit over there. Good to see you over there.
I mean, you really have made a career by the way you emote, Rich. That's how you got.
I appreciate that. Let's ride. As a matter of fact, I'm here in this locker room known as the Rich Eisen Show. I came down from my second floor office just to hang with you guys. So good.
You've
to
never
see
invited
you
us up there. That's
why you know invited. My door is always open. I don't understand what
but
your
we
problem.
Don't know where it's at.
What a weekend in the NBA. Let me just say this to everybody. And I mean this in my bones.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Do not let the Los Angeles Lakers in the tournament. Don't do it.
Come on.
Laugh all you want. You're laughing.
Come on,
Clipper
man.
Fan laughing. I saw your team go down in heartbreaking fashion on Friday night in person.
Okay,
we'll discuss that.
Good...
And then one of two overtime losses for you this weekend.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're giving the people their money.
Chris Brockman, I know your Celtics came up with a big win over the Philadelphia 76ers.
And you are looking down
your nose at the rest of the
luck
association.
The,
I know how you're looking at
Irish.
It.
It ain't luck, baby.
And I know one of the teams that beat the Clippers in overtime are the Denver Nuggets, and they are the best team in the Western Conference in the NBA right now.
Only if
now.
You go by record.
And also seeing the playmakers that they can put on that floor when fully healthy. And as of this last Monday of February, you look at the Western Conference and the Nuggets are head and shoulders above everyone else, also in the standings. And on top of it, the other question is, how will the Suns be able to separate from the rest of the Western Conference mosh pit to try and join the Nuggets as one of those talented rosters that will be very difficult to beat in a seven-game series once everything starts in the playoffs. How quickly can Durant and everyone get up to speed? Because right now the Suns are in the rest of that Western Conference mosh pit. Going into the weekend, Chris, we were talking about these Lakers having won two in a row, having won three of four since the trade deadline reconstituted their roster. And you even mentioned Darvin Ham targeted the six seed.
Yep.
I want the six seed, he said, which is outside of the play-in tournament.
No play-in.
Which was also, I think, a target that a lot of people thought was a little bit higher than what was possible. Going into the weekend, they were in 13th place in the conference and several games out of the lead in that division. Now you flash forward to today. As you could see, they were 14 games out of first place, 3.5 games behind the Mavericks going into the weekend. Flash forward to today. Flash forward to today, and voila, just 2.5 games behind the Mavericks in the sixth seed and two in the loss column. Now, they got a ton of teams to leapfrog, including the Blazers, who got 71 from Dame Lillard last night. Dame time was 7:01 last night. 1 minute after 7 last night. 71 points for him. But you look at those standings, and the Lakers coming off of the win against the Mavericks.
Right.
And if you wouldn't mind putting the statistics, the standings up one more time. The Warriors, they did get a win on Sunday, but the Clippers lost twice. The Mavericks lost to the Lakers. The Thunder are now behind the Lakers. They're now one fewer team they have to leapfrog. And then you look at the Lakers just at 32 losses. The Blazers have 31. The Pelicans have 31. The Timberwolves have the same number of losses. The Jazz have 31. The Warriors, Clippers, and Mavericks have the same number of losses, and it is just two fewer than the Lakers. And the reconstituted Lakers, I know I'm sounding like O'Shea Jackson Jr. here, but I'm serious, man. No, you look at the way the Lakers have played since reconstituting their roster, and it's not just LeBron has to play above his age, or I guess below it, and Anthony Davis has got to play out of his skull. They've gotten help. Now, D'Angelo Russell got hurt, but in the first game of their three-game win streak against New Orleans, Russell had 21 points and 7 assists, while Davis had 28 and 10, and LeBron had 21, 6 and 6. Next game against Golden State, LeBron 13, 9 and 8, Davis 12 and 12, but Malik Beasley lit it up for 7 threes, and Mo Bamba had a double-double of 10 and 13. And yesterday, how about Jared Vanderbilt, 15 and 17, while LeBron and Anthony Davis had to turn it on because they were down by 27, and they still won in Dallas. Don't let him in the tournament. You've seen teams that LeBron has taken to the finals that I think are far less loaded than this team is right now. Anthony Davis is a major problem, this just in, and LeBron is playing really well, and let him manage whatever injury he has. I believe in the Lakers. I truly do. Who's way better than them? I think the Nuggets. I think we need to see the Suns. And what will the Grizz look like once they finally put the pedal to the metal?
We're going to find out. They play each other on Tuesday.
Beautiful. And you said we're going to find out about the Lakers over the next couple of games.
They had seven games against teams above them in the standings. So they just beat Golden State and Dallas. Now they have five coming. Memphis tomorrow, Oklahoma City on Wednesday, Minnesota Friday. Big week for the Lakers. Sunday, national televised game against Golden State. And then a week from Tuesday on TNT against Memphis again. We're going to find out how good the Lakers are in the next week.
They're at Memphis coming up this week?
Yep.
Okay. And I have learned Shannon Sharp will not be there for that game.
You're positive about that.
So,
on the 7th, he might be here in L.A.
Get your cardigans ready for that Tuesday nighter after the combine.
Yeah, we should all wear cardigans.
We should all wear cardigans. Night.
I don't think I could swing that one, though.
Bobble cardigan night. Don't let the Lakers. Don't.
Yo, the Lakers for sure should do a Shannon Sharp cardigan bobblehead night to troll Memphis.
Don't let
them in.
The Lakers in the tournament. Fair warning.
I think that's a safe warning.
Fair warning. The six seed, dude, they're two losses out of it now. You can look way above that if they go on a nice little run. Stay healthy. Let's see how everybody can start meshing together. Darvin Ham, man, he can coach his ass off. Let's go. It's more interesting. I know there's a lot of Laker hate. More interesting, hands down, when the Lakers are in the mix and LeBron's in the mix and they're together in this mix, I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. Don't let them in, Western Conference. Now then, in advance of Todd McShay calling shortly, our friend Adam Schefter reporting something that is, it's all part of this mix. The mix that we saw the minute Lovie Smith bequeathed to his former team in Chicago as he went out the door in Houston, the first overall selection, because for whatever reason, he spit his last Texans breath right at the front office by winning a meaningless game, costing the Texans the first overall selection. And thank you, Lovie, because it's made this draft that much more interesting. And I mentioned here, Brockman threw it out there in an overreaction Monday. Then I mentioned here and then asked to Justin Fields' grill when he stopped by kindly to the Rich Eisen Show at the Super Bowl. Are you ready to have your status as the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears question? He said yes. Then comes the avalanche of, well, general managers at the coming out of the Senior Bowl think that this trade from Chicago may just be Justin Fields, not the first overall pick. And at some point, Bryce Young's going to stop in to Chicago and C.J. Stroud's going to stop in. And you, Chris, said last week, well, it's really Bryce Young. And I'm like, no, C.J. Stroud's going to make a run. C.J. Stroud's going to make a run. And suddenly at some point, it's going to be like, hey, this guy can spin it. And this guy is right there with Bryce Young, if not above. And Todd McShay may tell us something differently in about 7 minutes' time, but Bryce Young's not throwing at the combine. C.J. Stroud is. So he's going to have on Saturday on the on-field drills on NFL Network with Daniel Jeremiah and yours truly in the booth a clear runway. Will Levis will be on the runway. The kid Richardson from Florida will be on the runway. But this is going to be a C.J. Stroud, as you know, neck and neck with Bryce Young conversation for the Bears and conversation for the league if the Bears are going to trade the pick, because it should be Justin Fields' gig. He's proven it, and they can potentially get a King's ransom, because if you look at the draft order, two teams in the same division are going for a quarterback this year. And it's Houston and the team hosting the combine, Indianapolis. You've got the Panthers in this mix. Can the Atlanta Falcons even be interested in something like that?
Interesting.
What will the Raiders do?
The Raiders.
At 7, 8, and 9, Todd McShay has the Raiders going. Will Levis of Kentucky.
Yeah, they could wait right there and get him, I feel like.
Adam Schefter saying the Bears are open to trading this draft, Joyce. And that they're leaning towards it or what have you. And mentioned all those teams. It's on. It's on. It's combine week. It is on. You know what I have been saying. The Bears need to make it seem like they're going to trade Justin Fields. It's entirely possible that period is over. I think it's going to go longer because at some point they will have Bryce Young in and they will have C.J. Stroud in, unless somebody comes at the combine after seeing Stroud on the field and in their interview room, or seeing Young in their interview room, falling head over heels in love with this person and wanting to front load right away, blowing away, Godfather offering the Chicago Bears, who say, we're done. I don't think, in my mind, the Raiders, Falcons, and Panthers are in this mix, because they're going to have to offer an insane package for the Bears to entertain moving as far down as 7, 8, or 9 in this draft, removing them from the Will Anderson, Jalen Carter zone. I think it's going to be between the Texans and the Colts, and Ryan Poles should play them both off each other like crazy. Now, the Texans can sit here and say, well, you know what, Ryan, that's too rich for our blood. We'll just sit where we are, and we'll take the other guy that the Colts don't take.
Yeah.
This is the horse trading that's happening, or will happen, and for some reason, I feel like we're going to have to get through pro days. I've pegged late March, early April for this deal. Can happen sooner. But it's on.
It's on. Let's go.
Again, Bears should play them all off each other and make it seem like at some point when they're playing off each other and saying, yeah, we're not going to go in that direction. It's too rich for our blood. Okay, guess what? Guess who we're going to have in for a meeting? Bryce Young. Hopefully, you know what? Does he like deep dish?
Does he like?
Have you ever seen the bean?
The bean is really cool, man. Yeah, the bean is.
Does he like deep dish? That'll be the retort to anybody that doesn't meet Ryan Poles' asking offer. We're gonna find out if he likes deep dish. Do you like deep dish? How about them apples
or Portillo's?
You know. Oh, get a baby, beef sandwich. It's on Gibson. And it's starting. It is starting.
Popcorn. Chicago has the popcorn.
Wait till C.J. Stroud spins it on Saturday.
Oh, he's going to look great doing it, man. 6'3", 225.
Wait till he spins it on Saturday. And Bryce Young will be standing there. It'll be a long day for him. Just standing there in his zip up.
Oh, yeah, alphabetical, right?
Oh, no, he'll just be standing there.
Oh, Young, he's last. He's last. Right?
He'll be there, but he'll be there watching Stroud spin it. And of course, he'll show up in Alabama and he'll spin it. Oh, now suddenly Young's up there. That's the way it's going to work. Everybody just breathe and pace. But it starts this week. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Here on the program, we've got Todd McShay from the worldwide leader in sports to kick it all off. Albert Breer to end it, to sprinkle in some conversation about, is Jalen Ramsey going to get traded? What is going on at the Combine? He's already in Indianapolis. What's going on in the halls, the whispers, the chitter-chatter? And then hour number two, Jeff Passan on the pitch clock and the shift rules that were put into place over the weekend in Major League Baseball. And then who do you think you are? I am. Is now 11 years and one day old. The 11-year anniversary of Pete Weber barking back, apparently, at somebody who was heckling. Who heckles a bowler? He's right. Joined Hall of Fame bowler. He's joining us in hour number two to stroll down memory lane. Oh, and by the way, the competition committee met about roughing the passer penalties and whether it should be reviewable. They're meeting at the Combine. Oh, baby. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're off and running here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Todd McShay when we come back.
Have you noticed how a lot of insurance commercials are kind of gimmicky? They've got jingles and mascots, and they try to be real cute and clever. But really what matters, in fact, it's the only thing that matters, is the insurance, which is why I want to tell you about NJM. Because for over 100 years, NJM has been going about their business protecting their clients' biggest investments, their homes and their cars, with award-winning customer service. The most important thing is knowing you have the right coverage with a company you can rely on when you need them. And that's NJM. When you apply for an auto, home, or renter's policy, NJM will work with you to ensure you get the coverage that's just right for you. And when you upgrade to NJM, you could save real money on your auto insurance. Better service and possible savings. No jingles, no mascots, just great insurance. NJM. Visit njm.com/podcast for a quote to see how much you could save on your auto insurance. njm.com/podcast.
I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with our Roku channel feed, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Todd McShay will be joining us in a matter of moments here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you come up with a poll question, Christopher, at Rich Eisen Show? Were you able to hammer down for the weekends?
I was thinking about it.
I know we haven't done a poll question in a while, but because there was the double overtime Clippers-Kings game Friday night that I went to.
Right. Wow.
There was also the
Saturday's crazy Celtics-Sixers ending.
Correct.
Right. Tatum's game winner, and Embiid gets it off just after the buzzer.
That was unbelievable.
From like 70 feet.
70 feet, right.
And then there was the Laker 27-point comeback. And then Dame 71. I mean, what a NBA weekend, you know, to get us back in the mix as we as we head down the home stretch here.
Put it up.
Throw that up. What's the best moment from the NBA week?
At Rich Eisen Show.
Brockman, Dame time was told on a Patek Philippe last night, though, wasn't it, man? Oh. Holy cow. That wasn't
71 is insane.
That wasn't a Timex.
And it was mad efficient.
Very efficient.
13 three-pointers. He also had six dimes. I think that's what people were talking about Kobe last night, Kobe's 81-point game. Kobe only had two assists in the 81-point game. Dame had six last night, which was mad impressive.
Also,
more importantly, they got the win when
also
they needed
impressive.
It.
The threes, 13, that's a record, correct?
I think one shy of Clay. Clay had 14.
But that dunk, when he took, when he went down the lane and just piped, like that was like, oh, because you don't see Dame doing that.
And I just don't know if it's because we had a 9-day layoff or whatever, but where we missed the game and we got it back, or the guys were well-rested and lit it up.
Remember, Dame took his first game off back right after, too. So
I know.
He was definitely rested.
That's true. He did.
I know.
Think about it. That's like a guy winning the home run derby and then coming back his next game and, like, hitting four home runs in the game. Like, because you figure you might have shut yourself out after he won the three-point contest.
I know, right? I know this is unfair to everybody else who's currently sitting in the play-in game, right? But if you, it's a play-in tournament in the Western Conference, okay? The East, you can't even compare the Eastern Conference play-in tournament possibles to the Western Conference. Certainly, since in the Western Conference, it's entirely possible you have either Steph, you could have a Western Conference play-in tournament with Steph, Lillard, LeBron, and what you could throw Luka in the mix too.
Luka,
yeah, they could fall, no doubt.
Look, you can even
say one in three.
You could do that
since acquiring Kyrie. Right.
The Clippers could fall down into that play-in tournament, so you could have them. That's how tight this is right now.
Let me just throw this out there: we're still searching for McShay right now.
Good one.
And I don't see him on ESPN either, so I'm a little confused. But so I went to that Clippers Kings game on Friday night, as you all know.
Man, you picked a good one, bro.
It was Cooper's 12th birthday. He took a handful of his teammates from his sixth grade basketball
and 12 or 13
team. 12.
12.
And Taylor brought a friend. And it was obvious from jump that this game was different. Because every shot went in. When I say every shot went in, it was unbelievable. Whether it was a three-footer, whether it was somebody with a hand in the face, whether it was somebody who was just shooting a wide-open three, or a runner. It just started going in. Coop turns to me after the first quarter. What was the score after the first quarter, if you don't mind calling up that box score? By the way, great headline from our friends. As Jordan Shero, Rich Eisen Show editor, is taking care of a Kings board. Am I reading this right? Is a great headline right here from our Tyreek Hill.
First quarter
drop.
Was 40-40.
That's 40, right.
Yeah, 40-40. Third quarter.
That's right. He turns to me and he says to me, Dad, they're on pace to score 160 each. And I'm like, yeah, they'll slow down.
Math was off a little.
And then it was truly off the charts on this night.
With 9:32 left in the game, in the fourth quarter, it was 125-120 with 9 minutes left.
Well, we'll hit that later on when we get a chance. But that was unbelievable on Friday night. He's from the worldwide leader in sports, one of the top draft analysts that is out there. Todd McShay, kind enough to call into the Rich Eisen Show here on the Monday to kick off Combine Week. How you doing, Todd?
Good. How you doing, Rich?
I'm hanging in there, brother. I'm hanging in there. Let's just jump out right off the gate and ask you, who's the atop your board? Who is the number one guy in this draft that you think with the biggest upside or can play right now? Who do you have just talent-wise? Nothing, it doesn't matter team need, doesn't matter position.
Yep.
Atop your board, Todd.
Bryce Young, the Alabama quarterback. And just getting to know him and knowing who he is and then watching the talent that he has and then studying him on tape, he's a smaller version of Patrick Mahomes is what he is. I mean, he's 195 pounds, and maybe he'll get to 200 pounds by next week. We'll see. And that's what everyone's going to talk about. But he is – the poise that he has in the pocket, the ability to sense pressure, where it's coming from, and just – he has special qualities, and there are very few that are special, and Bryce Young, to me, is special.
Okay, so then walk me through the evaluation you think Ryan Poles, general manager of the Bears, and Coach Eberflus, walk me through that evaluation. If they have the number one overall pick, the question is, you know, and Young is the best player in the draft, and you can get the best player in the draft. But you already have Justin Fields. Walk me through what you think that evaluation is going to be.
Brutal. Really brutal. Because, all right, here's the thing. I would actually take Bryce Young, and I know it sounds crazy, but I would do it because you're buying yourself a couple of years of money, but you're betting on something that you don't know, and you also... With Fields, you've put a couple years into developing that and developing him and developing the family and everything that is, you know, what the quarterback position should be. And so then you would just all of a sudden quit it. But I still would take Bryce Young. I still would.
Why? I mean, because you're starting over again, or he's your guy. So you would literally flip Justin Fields after the 2 years we just saw from him to somebody else.
Yeah, I would, because I think Bryce Young is special. I really do. If I could get Patrick Mahomes, and I know he's 195 pounds, but right. If I could get a version of Patrick Mahomes, I would do it.
So what does he do?
Rich. I don't think they're going to do that. I think that they're going to trade out and get probably, you know, it's pick. I think they'll probably move back to four and then get pick 35 and then like a fourth round pick and then a second round pick next year is what I think is actually going to happen.
Okay. So, wow. That would be wild, to say the least. So let's walk me through what, you know, when. All right, one step at a time here. Bryce Young, what do you see on film that reminds you of Mahomes? To you?
His poise, like, I've watched probably every single game that he's played, and I've been with him live 3 different times. His poise and his ability to maneuver inside the pocket, to create and to feel pressure and to just, like, it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. No big deal. That's the thing. He has a different ability to just sense where the pressure's coming from and is just calm about it. And there are very few people, very few quarterbacks that can actually do that. And that's why I think he's special.
Todd McShay here from ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so then let's just say the Bears do go ahead and flip Justin Fields. Who do you think would go and get him, Todd? Let's play this out.
I mean, you got Houston at 2, right? You've got Indy at 4. So those are the top 2 teams that I would think will make the move up. Las Vegas could move up from, 7?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think when I looked at it, there were 7 or 8 teams in the top 20 that actually could move up. But here's the other thing. If you're Chicago and you're sticking with Justin Fields, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't want to move past 4.
Correct.
Because you want to make sure that you're still getting Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. Will Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama, and Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia. Those are the 2 special players in this draft. But you have to make sure that you get one of those 2 guys.
Okay. Todd McShay here on the Rich Eisen Show. So walk me through the rest of the quarterback class. Where do you have C.J. Stroud? Where do you have the rest of them, Todd?
Yeah, I have C.J. Stroud at 2, and he got better as the process went on. He had his best game against Georgia. He finally showed his mobility and the ability to just move around and utilize his athleticism. Will Levis is the most, I would say, intriguing because he has the strongest arm outside of Anthony Richardson, but Anthony Richardson is the most physically gifted coming out of Florida. So you've got 4 quarterbacks that have very different skill sets and a lot of talent, but there's a lot of gamble here, is the best way I could put it. Anthony Richardson is the most talented quarterback in this class, but he is the least ready for the NFL right now. He needs another year, but he's not taking another year, so he's going to come out and we'll see what happens. And I hope for his sake that he winds up in a situation where, you know, a team is willing to take a year, maybe 2 years, develop him and go through the process. Will Levis has the character and the toughness and the integrity and like everything you look for the quote unquote it factor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a strong arm and he's mobile. But I still see some areas where he has to learn how to process and look through the field, and I don't think he's there yet.
So you have him in your mock draft, Todd McShay, landing at 7.
Yeah.
For the Raiders. Why do you feel that's a fit? Why do you think McDaniels is sitting there and going to go pull the trigger?
Because I think he'll look at him and say, you know what, I can fix the little things that need to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
and he'll be my guy. That's fine.
Okay, and then do you think he can start day one? Certainly if the Raiders, let's just say, go ahead and snag Jimmy G in the next couple of weeks. What do you think?
Yeah. I think with Will, you could actually start him day one. With Anthony Richardson, I do not think you can start him day one.
But you think that Frank Reich looks at him at 9 and says, okay, I'll mold him while we figure things out with Sam Darnold.
Yes. Well, we'll take a year, maybe 2 years, whatever it is. But we could have something really, really special. I'm talking like really special if we develop him properly.
Todd McShay here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more minutes left with him as he kicks off our combine week. What do you think of Zach Wilson, what the Jets need to do here? Rodgers is going to make a decision at some point. Derek Carr already came in there. Your colleague Diana Russini said the Jets told him that he could be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he signs with them. And, of course, there's still a guy who went second overall just 2 years ago. What do you think, Todd McShay?
I think that Joe Douglas has put together a roster that is absolutely phenomenal. If you're developing a young organization and you have the offensive rookie of the year, the defensive rookie of the year, and there's just everything is in place to have success. For whatever reason, the quarterback position is not settled, and they obviously need to bring in somebody else. That's the best way I can put it.
Well, I mean, if you bring in somebody else, don't you think you can bring in somebody? Do you have? I guess with Rodgers, you know, you got 2 years, maybe three, right?
Yeah.
With Carr,
and you know what?
With Carr, you might get somebody longer.
I would bring in Aaron Rodgers. Is what I would do. That's exactly what I would do.
Bring him in, and then you could coach Zach up in the meantime. Okay.
Yeah, and give him time to sit behind and see. You know, just like Brett Favre with him, right?
Yes, that's right. I guess so. Before I let you go, the Bears are going to make this evaluation. Walk me through, you know, when you think they either fall in love with Young and flip Fields, or you know, decide. We're keeping Fields, and somebody's going to come up to go get Bryce Young.
I think they're absolutely going to trade out. I think they're going to move back. I think they're going to move back to two or four, like I said, and make sure that they get one of the two special players in this draft, Will Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama, or defensive tackle Jalen Carter from Georgia. And I think that's the move.
But
I really do.
But you,
I think they've invested so much in Justin Fields, and Justin Fields, to his credit, has developed so much. I just believe that they're going to stick with that.
Except you would do the other. You would get Young and flip Fields because you love Young that much.
I would.
Todd McShay, you're the man. Thanks again. Hope to see you.
I appreciate you, bud.
Take care, pal. Same to you. That's Todd right. McShay of ESPN right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So he would keep the pick and use it on the quarterback and flip Justin Fields.
Man.
Let me just say this.
That's the decision.
No,
though.
No, let's pull the McShay here for a second. If they do that. And
wild.
You're the Texans. Wouldn't you go? Wouldn't you say okay? Right.
Okay to move up, or okay,
or okay to
take the other guy.
Would you flip
to take Stroud?
Would you flip? Hold on a second. If they keep Young, or if they keep the pick and just take Bryce Young, right, and flip Fields,
right?
Would you trade the number two overall pick for Justin Fields?
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Wouldn't you trade the number two overall pick for Justin Fields?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you just use the logic that McShay is using, that the Bears are using, a lot of usings there, they take Stroud, who you got to think is just as good as Fields, same body type, same measurables, same accolades in college, and you get the two more years of control.
And this is why you're going to start hearing the Bears are going to do this more often, that if you could get Bryce Young and Will Anderson 1-2. Cool. Or you can get, I'm serious. I mean, that's,
man.
If you're the Colts, would you flip number four overall
for Fields?
For Fields.
Colts are ready. Colts are ready to win.
You flip.
Now.
You take Justin Fields.
I think based upon
fourth overall, and then you're the Bears. You get Young and Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Do you do that? Or you keep Fields? You keep Fields and you draft Will Anderson. You keep Fields.
Right.
Or you keep Fields and you draft Jalen Carter fourth overall and you got first round picks in the future.
That sounds great.
That's the options. These are all the options. I like obviously, the Texans would have to play along and say, we'll flip you two for Justin Fields.
Right.
I think you keep Fields and get Anderson.
The way the contracts are now with first rounders, it just makes sense. If you can restart, you're saving yourself money in the long run.
But you're also setting your franchise back a year or
but
two.
But if you think Bryce Young's just as good as Fields is now, you're not.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's a roll of the dice there.
This
right?
is all going to be lit.
Thank you, Lovie Smith.
Thank you, Lovie Smith. Because if it was the Texans, it'd be, okay, which one do they choose?
What did you think?
Right? If it was the Texans, first overall, it's like, which one do they take? Young
or Stroud.
Right. And then the question would be, whoever the Texans don't take, that's who the Bears would either flip Fields for or not. Oh. I mean, that's the way it would have gone. Thank you, Lovie, is all we're saying. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back here. Pitch clock in Major League Baseball. Dig it or not. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'll tell you what I think about it when we come back.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Pitch Clock made its debut in Major League Baseball over the weekend for spring training. Players have to get in the batter's box and look up and be focused on the pitcher 8 seconds into a 15-second clock. If they don't, there's a strike call. Pitchers have to be ready. Catchers have to be in the box as well. I mean, you got to move it along. Everybody kind of digs it seems. Aaron Judge says he likes it. Alex Cora said he likes it. Max Scherzer says it gives the pitcher more power. Because if the hitter calls a timeout, which they're allowed to do it either once or twice, we're going to get our friend Jeff Passan of ESPN joining us in top of the next hour, that then they got to get back in, and the pitcher can just basically hold it, and the guy cannot step out. He's got to focus for like 10 seconds or 12 seconds. Scherzer says he loves it. He's going to start toying with hitters in that respect.
But more power? They have all the power. They have the ball. But
they do. The defense has the ball. But,
nothing starts till they throw it.
But players can keep stepping out on them and messing with their rhythm. Now they can't. However, if there's a runner on base, a pitcher can only step off the rubber or throw over twice. After that, the runner knows the pitcher's got to go to home plate. Here's the problem with the pitch clock.
I don't know.
In my estimation, is yesterday's Red Sox Braves game tied. Runners on, ninth inning, two strikes. Hitter gets called out because he wasn't set at 8 seconds. A walk-off pitch clock violation. Now, I'm all for pace of play. I am. I do like baseball where I'm just sitting around and watching and chit-chatting and telling stories and what have you. Mm-hmm. But I'm over the most likely outcomes, as they refer to it or something like that, of an at-bat. Ball, 4, strike 3, home run. Because the shift also takes away hits and things like that. Shift is gone now, too. I actually saw in spring training a left-handed hitter lace one to right field for a hit. And I'm like, where's the third baseman catching the ball?
For a hit?
Shouldn't there be a shortstop right there? Snag it right out of the air?
40 feet onto the grass?
No. Not anymore. Not anymore. And the bases are bigger, so more guys are going to reach because the bang-bang plays that used to be an out are now going to be a hit. People are going to be safe at second more often, maybe safe at third more often because the bang-bang plays where they're out, they're now going to be safe. You're going to see more action, and I dig it. Not a soul that agrees with me wanting to see more action wants a game to end on a pitch clock violation. I am sorry. And I am, as you know, a wannabe member of the NFL competition committee. So I know about rule changes. Boy, do I know. And I know every year there's a rule change or a change of emphasis on a rule that's already in the books. The NFL wants it. They want it called in the preseason. They not only want it called, they want it overcalled. They want to get it hammered into the mind's eye and the hearts and mind's eyes and heads of the players before the actual games count. Because they want it out there now so it doesn't happen in the regular season. Happens all the time, and that may be what's happening now in baseball. Okay? But all it takes is one game in Major League Baseball for there to be a walk-off pitch count violation. And everyone will be losing their minds. Let it be a Red Sox-Yankees game in Yankee Stadium on Sunday night.
ESPN.
Oh, God. Okay. Runners on second and third. Red Sox down one. Yep. Two outs. A single puts them ahead. Yankees have down one. Runners in scoring position. Two outs. Base hit wins the game.
Putting a little extra pine tar on the bat.
But Giancarlo Stanton didn't have his head up. Out. Game over. People will lose their minds. And I don't want to see a game end that way. And I don't want to hear, well, you should look up. You should know the rules. The rules are the rules. Screw those rules. Screw them. Of course, I always give a suggestion. Here's my suggestion. Keep the pace of play up. Innings 1-8. Fine. All good. Fine. Ninth inning? Pitch clock off. Go for it. Pitch clock off. And you don't have to worry about extras because you got your stupid-ass ghost runner. So, and by the way, that's the way it should be called.
S-A-G-R. S-A-G-R.
Sagger.
Sagger.
You got your Sagger. You hear Saber is a metric, right? Sagger. You got your stupid-ass ghost runner. It'll move. Don't worry, your game will be over soon. Ninth inning, pitch clock off. I want zero pitch clock violations. Or you, I guess it's off in extra innings too. I don't want it on the 10th or 11th inning. Nobody wants that. Pace of play all the way to the 9th, and then so be it. Jeff Passan coming up. All it takes is one. That's what I always said about this fumble through the end zone. You say it's a rule. You should follow it. Don't reach for the pylon so the ball doesn't go in the end zone and you don't lose the ball.
Don't fumble.
Wait till it happens in a Super Bowl. That's all. Wait till it happens. Oh, it hardly ever happens. So why should we change it? Because it's going to happen at the worst possible time. Same thing with this pitch clock violation. Nobody wants to see it. And right now it's really confusing because, you know, the director's zooming in on the dramatic shot of the pitcher staring in for the sign. And then all of a sudden they take the wide shot and the umpire's going like this. And he's pointing. Yesterday, the guy that got called out on the Braves thought he was advancing on a balk. And then the umpire goes, no. You're out. It's going to be confusing.
Yeah.
It's going to be confusing. And I know they're probably overcalling it now so it doesn't happen in the regular season.
You're right.
1-8, innings 1-8, have at it. Move it along. So it is, you know, it's the 8 innings takes 2 hours, hour 50, 2 hours and 10. After that, pitch clock off. We will not, in Major League Baseball, have a walk-off pitch clock violation. In my world.
I like that.
Brilliant! Thank you. Because the last thing you want is somebody to just be screwing around in the batter's box for 8.5 seconds and the game is suddenly
kaput.
Can't have it. Won't have it. Einstein knows. So does Eisen. What about Passan?
ESPN. You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
L.A., it can become suffocating.
Did something happen where you felt like, I have to get out of here? Or do you just think it just happens sometimes?
I think it just happens, but also just everything going on in my personal life. Like, I want to get on this mic and be like, this is what I've been dealing with for 14 months.
Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.